Hey friends, we're so glad that you've chosen to tune into this podcast from Revival Fires today.
We pray that this message brings you closer to Jesus.
We'd love to host you at our regular Sunday morning meetings, 10:30 a.m. in Dudley. Also, check out our website for our upcoming events.
We look forward to welcoming you to our next event.
All right, here we go. Here is the message.
I've got a message that I really believe the Lord has given me just for you this morning. He's going to set you free. There's going to be stones in your life that He's removing. There is going to be grave clothes in your life that He is folding, never to be put on again. And there are going to be nails as well that He is throwing away. I can't wait till the end. I'm too excited about this one. Here's my prop for you this morning. I don't know if you can read it at the front row. Shout it out for people at the back. No more nails. No more nails. There are no more nails. There is no more nails in your life. There is no more stone in your way. There is no more grave clothes of old identity, because He has risen from the grave. Come on. I got to tell you, Unibond, it says Unibond. No more nails. Original. Sorry, guys. This is not the original. The original was Jesus Christ when He rose from the grave. And so we've got a message just for you. I'm excited. Get your Bibles out. Turn with me to the book of John. We're going to look through John chapter 20. There is going to be an opportunity for you to respond, not to my message. Let me make this clear. You to respond to Jesus Christ, who is no longer on this grave, but who is seated in heaven and has released His Holy Spirit among us here this morning. And there's going to be an opportunity for you to respond, because I want to take you through this resurrection story. So are you ready? John chapter 20, on your phones, on your iPads, but if you can, in your Bible, it's even better. Get a pen, because there's going to be some things I want you to underline. I want you to grow. I want to equip you this morning to be a disciple. I want to equip you this morning, not just to come and hear what I've heard God say, but for you to hear what God is saying to you yourself. You get that? Come on, touch your neighbor on the side and say, that's a good word. God is going to speak to you. I'm going to speak to you, but you're going to hear the word of God Himself speaking to you. That's where I want to equip you. So let's read the resurrection story. John 20 from verse 1. Early on the first day of the week. It's like the clocks changed or something. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple. I want you to underline, stone had been removed. Underline it. It's a word God is saying to you this morning. She came running to Simon Peter, to the other disciples, the one Jesus loved. And she said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put Him. Now listen, you've got to understand. We read this story, this narrative, this historical account of what really happened, knowing that He had risen from the dead. But they, even though Jesus had said what He was going to do, even though the Bible and the prophets had prophesied about this thing, the disciples, the original disciples, because we're all disciples right now, aren't we? They had no idea what was going on. They had thought that their greatest hope that they had for the nation, the greatest hope they had for salvation, was over. They had thought this was the end. They had no idea what was going on. And I want you to understand, we can sometimes read the Bible and know what the end game is. And we can misinterpret the truth of how much hope was being given to the disciples as they experienced the grave. And I want you to know today as well, some of you have come in this morning and you thought, this is the end. This is my last chance. I'm turning on YouTube to Revival Fires TV. I'm coming to a meeting. This is my last chance. I don't know if anyone's out there. Does anyone see me? Is God real? I've got a word for you. This is not the end. This is just the beginning of your new life in Jesus Christ, because He sees you. He knows you by name. You'll see this later on. So Mary runs to Simon Peter. And she asked, where is Jesus? I don't know where He is. The tomb is empty. Underline that. They have taken Him away from the tomb. Verse 3. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. You know that this was John. John was writing the book, and he's like, just want you all to know for all eternity as you read the gospel, I was the foster runner. John arrived there first. He bent over and he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Even though he got there first, Peter was still the braver guy. Simon Peter came along behind him, straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, folded. Some versions say separate, but it means folded. I want you to underline folded from the linen. Children, I want you to underline that in your Bible. And remember, when your parents tell you to fold the laundry, don't complain. Jesus did it. This is practical resurrection power at work in families right now. Maybe there's some husbands that need to hear this word. Ryan, underline it. Come on, let's get back on track. So jump down now, verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. And the angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she said, "They have taken the Lord away. I don't know where they have put him." Underline that. The grave is empty. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" I love this. Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him." And Jesus said this to her. Jesus said one word that echoed in Mary's heart with all the resonance of eternity, with all the reality of relationship. It echoed in her heart because he called her by name. He said, "Mary." And this morning, I believe Jesus is calling each one of you by name. Janet, Ryan, Victoria, Philip, Dan, Alicia, he's calling you by name. And as you hear his voice, that's my prayer, you would hear his voice. Something would resonate in you like it did in Mary. She went from thinking this man stood before her was just the gardener, and she realized at the sound of his voice saying her name that he was Jesus. Listen to this. She turned towards him and she cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me." Can you imagine? She didn't just cry out. She went from being hopeless to being hopeful. She went from being lost to being found. She went from having no purpose to having a destiny. And so she latched on to Jesus. He was physical body. And she said this to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended." That's the last point we're going to make tonight. I'm going to come back and go these points. Underline that in your Bible. "I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead, tell my brothers and my disciples, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." I want to overlay that. Keep your finger in John chapter 20, but now just turn a couple pages across to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians chapter 3. I want to overlay this resurrection story with the words of Paul. Ephesians 2 verse 4. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions," dead in our sins, dead in the things that we've got wrong, dead in the things that have caught us out. "It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Did you sense the moment in worship this morning when we were singing, "So let your name be lifted, be lifted, be lifted higher." Did you sense a moment that the presence of God was ascending among us? He was risen, but he continues to rise. And what happens is he rises us up with him, as Paul is saying, and we are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. in order that in the coming age, we're living in those, he might show us the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork. Tell your neighbor, I thought you looked good this morning. I thought you looked good. You are God's handiwork. Now remember, you've got to say it back to the person who said it, okay? Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I want to speak to you this morning about the resurrection story. It was not just something that happened one day. It is something that is unfolding. The folded grave clothes speak about an unfolding story that we get to live in. Yes, today on Resurrection Sunday, but every single day of our lives. As I was reading this, and I want to encourage you, church. I have been reading the Bible normally on my phone or my iPad, and I do it because I like things neat and tidy, and I like a digital life. Any of you guys like social media? Don't lie to me. Put your hand up right now. Come on. Who likes social media? I can just about see your hands. There's some honest people here. And it's really good to be online and to be reading my Bible, and there's this little app that I can tick that says I've read that passage of Scripture. But I really felt this year that one of the stones that God wanted to roll away in my life was getting me back to old school analog. There ain't nothing like a written word of the Lord. Let me tell you this thing, the battery never runs out. Let me tell you this thing, I can read it in any, no matter how bright the sun is outside, I can read it. But there is something about getting back to the written word. And I've just been enjoying it. I tell you what happens is I wasn't just reading a tick sheet and ticking that chapter and stopping. I was getting involved in the story. And I can't help but turn the next page to see what happens. I can't help to see what story God is unfolding in my life. And I want to encourage us as a church. You can come here today and you can hear my faith. You can enjoy the worship team. You can hear the messages, but you will not get saved on my faith. You will get saved on your faith. It's not my words that will just feed you, because Jesus wants to feed you on Monday morning. Jesus wants to feed you on Tuesday morning. Jesus wants to feed you on Wednesday morning. Jesus wants to lead you on Thursday and on Thursday lunch. And on Friday when things are going difficult at work and you think that the boss has got it in you and you just think, what was it that preacher with the weird accent said on Sunday? I can't remember. Jesus wants to feed you every single day. So church, I want us to be those who feed ourselves. Learn how to feed yourself. And what we're going to do this week, I want us as a church to read the book of Ephesians together. Okay? It's 6 chapters. 1 chapter a day. If you've never read the Bible, I want us to do it together. If you've never read more than a few verses, oh, there was a great teacup that I've seen before. And it said this, I can do all things through a scripture taken out of context. You ever seen that teacup? Man, I need to get it framed and put on my wall. We are really good at reading one verse at a time and thinking, oh, didn't really understand that. God wants us to be those who know how to hear his voice. Can I tell you how to hear the voice of God? Can I tell you that how to hear it like Mary heard Jesus saying her name at the tomb? It's here in the Word of God. As you begin to read it, let me inspire you. It will teach you. There's a verse in Timothy that Paul writes, and it says this, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful. It's profitable for training, for conviction, for assurance, for being equipped in righteous works. Let me tell you I know, because we have life groups and we meet with people, and I'm a person, I feel this way sometimes. And we can go through life and we can say, you know what, I just feel really dry today. Do I have an amen to that? Yeah, you're a room of honest people. Sometimes I just feel, Lord, I need your breath. Would you blow your life on me? If the Holy Spirit is called a wind, would you blow on me? Where are you? Why are you not blowing on me? And he says, Ryan, read the word. The breath of God is in the word. If you want to grow, read the word. If you want to learn, read the word. If you need assurance for faith, read the word. If you need victory in your life, read the word. If you have got victory already, don't stop reading the word. You need the Word of God. And so, church, physical Bible. I was going to say this morning, you know, if you don't have a Bible, come and see me. I want to help you out. And I felt the Lord say, Ryan, you can't do that. Because you can't put yourself, make yourself responsible for other people's drive and hunger to read. If you don't have a Bible, go buy a Bible. I know it'll cost something. Let me tell you, these things cost something these days. Like probably the price of maybe 2 or 3 Amazon Prime movies. So it's not too much. I wish you could read it in about 6 hours, but it'll take you a bit longer. So it's really good value for money. If I gave you a Bible, it would sit on your shelf because it had no cost to you. You go and get yourself a Bible. Invest in it because it will cost you something. And I'm not afraid of the cost because the cost will cause you to begin to read it. And you've come here this morning because you want to hear the voice of God. I've got a message for you. You're getting it. But I want you to go home and hear the voice of God to you in your life because He is going to speak to you. So tomorrow, Ephesians 1. Tuesday, Ephesians 2. Wednesday, you get the picture. On Saturday, we would have finished it. On Sunday, we'll come back together for another installment of the living, active Word of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, so as I was reading the Bible, there was this little asterisk in the corner. And I thought, what has that asterisk got to do with? And I went and read the instruction sheet for my Bible. Does your Bible have an instruction sheet? Those pages at the beginning, it says how they've translated. And I realized that so much of the Bible has been translated into our language and we lose the power of the narrative. So all of those verbs that we were read were put into the past tense. Can I read you the Bible as it was written? It's going to sound a bit awkward because it's like, that's not how we speak in English. Did this guy even go to school? Yes, I did. Little kids, this is not how we speak normally, but I want you to understand it. So what happened is when they wrote it, all the Gospels was written in this way. They used the present day text. And as you listen to it, I want you to hear an urgency. I want you to feel that the writer is putting you in the middle of the story. He is taking you on a journey. It's not something that happened. Some of you even might want to close your eyes. Just listen to this. This is the original. Now, the first day of the week. That's how it starts. Now. Resurrection day wasn't just something that happened 2,000 years ago. Say now. 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 This is how the resurrection story starts. Right now. This very minute. This every second. Now, the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene comes early to the tomb. Dark it's still being. And she sees. She never saw. She sees the stone having been removed from the tomb. She runs. And she comes to Simon Peter and the other disciples whom Jesus loved. And she says to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb. Therefore, Peter and the other disciples were coming to the tomb and were running now, the two together. And the disciples ran, and the other disciple ran faster than Peter and came to the tomb. And having stooped, he sees the linen cloths. Comes then also Peter, following him, enters the tomb and sees the linen cloths lying there, the handkerchief which was upon the head of him, folded up and in its place. Can you hear it? Can you see that? Let me tell you what the Bible, the scripture has been written. This resurrection narrative is a live report. It's a vivid story. It's an active plot line. You've just stepped in today to an active plot line. This is an unfolding story. So here's the truth about this. Resurrection is not just in the past, but an urgent and active narrative you are called to live in today. I think there's an amen for that point. I think there's an amen for that point. The present tense narrative that you have to enter into. So how, if resurrection has got power for my life today, if it's not just something in the past, but it's alive and it's active, how do we live in the resurrection today? The first thing, as I've already said, read the Word. And the second thing is this, we have to understand, if we're going to live in resurrection power in life today, we have to understand where Jesus is. The grave is empty. The stone is rolled away. The grave clothes are folded. Where is Jesus? That was Mary's one question. And she found him and she embraced him. And what did he say to her? He said, "Do not hold me now, for I have not yet ascended." And we read in the Ephesians passage, where is Jesus? Let me tell you, he is seated in heavenly places. This is important. Where is Jesus today? Resurrection is still working because not only is he seated in heavenly places, but we are seated with him in heavenly places. Here's the point. Jesus is seated because the work is completed. What were some of the words? We had such a great time on Friday night remembering the cross, sharing communion together. And Anna led us through seven cries of the cross. And one of them is this. You'll know it. It's the last words that Jesus said while he was in his physical body, because he's still speaking today. Are you hearing his voice right now? And the last words he said is this. It is finished. Now, again, we read the Bible and we think, well, we read it is finished and we hear, I am finished. This is the end. I have died. And we see what was not understood. Maybe it hasn't been taught to us. Perhaps, is this a cry of defeat? Let me tell you, this is not that at all. This was one word in the Greek, which means, I have completed my task. All the work that was given to me to do is completed. This was not a cry of defeat. This was not, I am finished. This was a cry of victory. And I want you to know that Jesus is seated because the work is completed. And I just think about this. You might be going home today, having a meal with a family, or maybe you've come from a place in work and somebody of a higher status, somebody with greater authority, perhaps it's a grandfather, perhaps it's a boss at work or a leader at work, they walk in. What do? Out of respect, you have to stand from your seat, don't you? Out of respect, you stand and you say, welcome. I was always taught as a kid to stand when anyone walks in. And so when someone walks in, I'll stand up and I'll offer them respect and I'll shake their hands. Let me tell you this. Jesus is seated because the work is completed and there is no higher authority than Jesus. There is no higher power than Jesus. And Jesus doesn't have to leave his seat for anybody. Jesus doesn't have to leave his seat for the things that we brought in here today. Some of us come in here with sickness and we think, oh, Jesus, are you really powerful enough? I've got sickness. Let me tell you, Jesus is sitting on the throne because he has completed the work and it's available for you. Some of us can come in here today and we can think, but I just feel like, you know, I need cleansing. I'm dirty. I've done things wrong. Is there someone really more powerful than the way I'm feeling? Yes, there is. His name is Jesus Christ. And he is seated on the throne because the work is completed in our lives. Let me tell you, this is such... I woke up this morning, Anna and I were talking over coffee, and I've had such a revelation of this. Even though I've been a Christian most of my life, my parents met Jesus when I was 2 years old. And then at 15, I gave my life to Jesus and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. But something has been happening this weekend when I've understood this. And here it is. Many of us as Christians, we live in our own efforts trying to complete something. But I want to set you free this morning because you cannot complete a completed work. You need to tell yourself sometimes, I cannot complete a completed work. I don't have to earn my salvation. I don't have to try to be worthy enough. Because there is one who was on a cross who has done it all and he was worthy enough for me. Even when I come to church, I don't have to somehow preach up a storm so that you can connect with him. God is here and it's his plan. This is a plan he has prepared for us today, that you would be here, sat in that seat, hearing my voice, understanding that he has done it all. There is no higher power. You see, seated is a position of rest. What do you do at the weekend when you turn Netflix on? Or maybe it's, have you noticed there's a lot of options these days? Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, Now TV. I don't know about you, ITVX. I just like pay a subscription for one month and then shut it down and try another one for the next month. I make them work for me. Do you know what I'm saying? They're not taking my money. When you sit down, where do you sit? You don't stand up and lean against the wall and watch TV. You rest. Seated is a position of rest. And why is Jesus resting? I want you to know because he is not in any way insecure about his position. And he is not in any way under any battle. There is peace in heaven. and you can know the completed work of peace in your life. Rest is now the reign of resurrection, and restoration is now the rule of resurrection. Yeah. I need to say that again. You need to capture this. What does the resurrection mean in my life today? It happened 2,000 years ago. What does it mean in my life today? It means that rest is the rule of resurrection. I can't complete a completed work. What do I do then? I trust. I surrender. I have faith in Jesus. Because of that rest, now restoration is the rule of resurrection. What is the word that God has given us here as this body at Revival Fires for 2024? I will restore. God is working resurrection power in your life. He is coming to restore. Here's another point I want to make. Jesus is seated because the work is completed. And we're seated in him. But here's the thing. We are seated in heavenly places, not in public spaces. Any of you had to catch a bus or a train or anything at some point in your lives, maybe to get here this morning, and there's some seats you walk in, and what does it say above it? This seat is reserved for the elderly, for pregnant women, or for different things. And let me just preface this. I'm not telling you to go out of here and be unpolite, okay? We are not seated in public transport. We are seated in heavenly places. And we can get so used to giving up our seat in public spaces, but God is calling you never to give up your seat in your heavenly place. I have a word from the Lord, and I want to release it. I feel that some of us have become so used to trying to be seated with Christ in a heavenly place, and then difficulties come in the world around us. And what do? We give up our seat. We lose a seat of peace. We lose a seat of power. We lose a seat of purity because things, trials, temptations, and testings happen around us and we give up our seat. Let me tell you, saints, don't lose your seat. Stop giving it up to things that happen in our lives. God is saying this seat has your name on it. This seat is in Christ and he is calling us never to lose it. Remember, we're seated in heavenly places, not public spaces. Don't give up the seat. It's amazing we got baptisms coming up a bit later. Isn't it great to see this pool? I really like the Revival Fires logo on the side. If you have a look, you'll see it a bit later. The story is this, and this has happened twice, but this is a testimony because I knew that I can't give up my seat for peace, right? Sometimes we've filled this baptism pool up all the way to the top, walked in the next morning to discover that there was a leak in the pool that none of us knew about, and that when we left the day before, it was full of water, and when we walked in the next morning, there was no water in the pool. It was all over the church floor. And I go to the staff and I say, come on, guys, who is praying the prayer of Gideon? Who wants God this is a fleece before the Lord. I don't want none of this. You know that story in the Bible. If the fleece is dry and the ground is wet, then the Lord has spoken. And that's not happening anymore. So we've had to work hard, suck the carpet out, get a new baptism pool, all the rest. And guess what happened on Friday morning when we came in having set up the pool again? It was leaked. There was a hole somehow. So we had to go buy a new baptism pool, which I think the people being baptized are very excited about. And the reason we stuck a logo is I don't want no other names on the side. This is Revival right here. But here's the point. The first time that happened when I walked in and the pool had a hole in and there was water all over the place, my peace, the seat of peace that God had called me to reign on in heaven, I gave it up because of the trial around me. I was stressing out. You guys ever stressed out before? Like, you know, imagine that. Like, it's embarrassing when I look back. Like, you don't know how to put two words together. You're calling everyone. When I say everyone, it's normally your wife. You know, trying to hit the internet. Where is the best place? And you're looking for help. And it's just a stress because you're worried about things that are going on. We walked in on Friday morning and I saw the water on the floor. David was helping me. David, the intern, and Bex, good to have you guys. And we realized this was leaking. And I had an instant remembery. I'm speaking a new translation here this morning. I had an instant thought about the past. And I was reminded of this message. And I'm not going to give up my seat of peace because God has completed. And look at this. It's all sorted out. Isn't it amazing? But here's what I believe as well. I think some of us have been praying and asking God for more authority. Some of us have been praying and saying, God, would you give me a promotion at work? God, would you give me more of an influence in different spheres? And I want to get out there and to do more. And that's a good prayer. But I believe God is saying first, he wants you to learn how it is to rule over your throne. And once you've been able and successful, he is faithful in little things, we trust him with much. Once you rule over your throne, he is now beginning to give you more. So take a hold of that, some of you. You've been crying out for more, and this is the word of the Lord. He says, yes, more is coming, but first rule over your own seat. Gone are the days when you're giving up your seat of peace because difficulties come. Gone are the days when you're giving up your seat of power because God is on the throne. God are the days when you give up your seat of purity. We'll probably come on this in a little bit, but it's a big one. It's one of the main reasons why we can feel so unworthy in the presence of God. And God is saying, no, that's not happening. You know, some of us, even in our prayers, we can be praying this way, like, God, why am I not getting breakthrough? The enemy is just attacking me. The enemy is just taking things away. And he says, no, I'm just putting you in a place where I'm teaching you how to ascend with me, how to be seated on the throne in heavenly places so that you can get victory. Amen? Yeah. There is a place of victory coming. This is resurrection power when we rule on the throne. So how do we do this then? This is great, Ryan. You know, stop giving your seat away. How do I do it? There's three things I want to talk. And the first one is this. We have to understand that the stone was rolled away. See, what does the stone represent? It represents things that have tripped you up in the past. It represents things that have weighed you down. Have you ever felt heavy? Have you ever just felt the heaviness, like the stones? Maybe it feels like you're trying to go somewhere and you just feel almost like this, as if there's stones in your pocket pulling you down and you just feel sluggish, you feel slow. That weight, that is stones which are trying to weigh you down. They're also, stones represent things which can get caught in our shoes. Have you ever been on a walk and a little stone has got in your shoe? It doesn't stop you getting to your destination, does it? But it sure is annoying. It sure is frustrating. It sure causes a pain. Sure is a problem. And there are places where God is saying that we need to understand that the stone is moved away. But here's the point. We can't complete a completed work. Who rolled the stone away for Mary? The angels had rolled it away. Sometimes we come to situations that we know or we think, I need to be free of this, and we try in our own strength. But I want you to know, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because of resurrection power, he has rolled the stone away. He has done it. See, this speaks to our own efforts. This speaks to our own need of recognition or desires for perfection. It speaks for our own sense of worth or being good enough. I'll never be worthy enough, but Jesus was. It's time for us to rise above it. We just have to remember that the stone is rolled away. How does this work? Let me give you a testimony. Even in a place of when we come to pray, we can get so used to coming to pray and telling the Lord all the problems, telling the Lord all the difficulties. Even in our prayer life, saying, but there's this wrong, and there's this wrong, and there's this wrong with me, and there's this wrong with that. And it happened a couple weeks ago, even in the prayer time in the front here. We were praying, and it just felt like we were in battle mode. Now, I do believe that God's taking us into places where we increase through warfare. But our warfare is never on my own effort. My warfare is because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I could pray these things I was going through on this plane, on this level, if you imagine. And God says, Ryan, you're seated with me. And in an instant, I said, okay, I will rise with you. And it was as if I was looking at the situation from a different perspective. And the perspective was that I didn't have to be the solution. I just had to change my position because the stone was rolled away. God has done it all. And there is an effortlessness today that's going to begin to fall into place for some of you. There are going to be things that you might have battled with, questions that you've asked, maybe even the question of salvation, knowing for sure that you are saved. Today is going to fall into place because of what Jesus had done. The second one is this: how do we not give up our seat? We have to understand that we need to leave the grave clothes behind. Jesus' body was there in the tomb, but when he left it, what did he do with the clothes? He didn't walk around in these old clothes. He folded them up and he left them in the tomb. And you see, what do clothes represent? They represent the old identities that we wear. They represent the way that we can sometimes see ourselves. They represent sometimes the way that we think about ourselves. We have to leave them behind. I've enjoyed this year as we've been looking at garments. Do you remember in January we looked at the garment of restored relationship with Adam and Eve, and the robe of ministry, that our role is to be ministers, priests to the Lord. And Darren spoke about blind Bartimaeus, that cloak of identity. And he had to throw off his cloak when God called him into healing. Do you remember that story? And so now we have to realize that we have to let go of some of our old identities. And we don't do that in our own strength. We do it when we come to the cross of Jesus. We say, Lord, you've done it all. And I give this up to you. I surrender it to you. So instead, we now wear robes of the overcomer. You are clothed in a righteous robe. You are clothed in a robe that was dipped in the blood of Jesus, that is white, and that is the identity that you have. You are a victor, an overcomer. You see, resurrection is a daily reminder to put on Christ. Let me read to you from Colossians chapter 3. It says this: since then you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You see, there is a perspective shift. We have to cast off some of the clothes that we've been wearing in our thought life and say, I'm not going to think this way anymore. Here's what I want you to see. We live the Christian life with ourselves at the center, okay? We live the Christian life singing, I love this resurrection message because I'm seated and it's all about me. I love this grace message because it's all about me and I'm forgiven. It's all about me. And I love this message here we read in the Bible that it's profitable. Ooh, I like that. I want to have the resources of heaven, and we make it all about me. Let me tell you, this structure right here of selfishness, self-centeredness, this is the stone that God wants to roll away today. You see, this is how we align ourselves. This is how we're seated. If we try and structure like this, and I can be preaching this message to you, and you can leave here today saying, well, yeah, I'm actually really good. God has seated me in heavenly places. And that's true. But all of that can become used by the enemy because it's self-centered. And my life is hidden where? In Christ. My provision comes from where? In Christ. My hope comes from where? In the Christ. So now Christ is the center. And now we are all the body. Say the body. We are the body. And when we understand that it's not about me being in the middle, but Jesus being in the middle, we discern the body. And now it's not about, well, I really need forgiveness, so I'm going to listen to the message of grace because I need forgiveness. It's more about this. I've been forgiven. Do you need forgiveness, Lissy? Because I can take you to Jesus. What happens when we understand? It's a small shift, friends. It's a small shift, but it's probably one of the most important shifts that needs to happen, especially in our 21st century, in a time where we have fast food and instant media and everything is all about me and Uber drivers, and I can stay at home if I want to. I'll catch up online. I can read the Bible on my phone, or I don't have to. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And even in this process of becoming a Christian, it's saying, Lord, I must decrease and you must increase. And here is the point of resurrection. If we had continued to read in Ephesians, and you'll be reading it this week, it says that who is he that ascended? And when he ascended, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts, apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists. And you can say, right, Ryan, that's great. That's just for you guys who are leading us. But no, it's not, because he goes very on to the next line and says, for the purpose of equipping the saints for ministry. I want you to understand this resurrection message is so important because it changes you into a saint. It changes you into someone who is being sent even from this place. What does it take to be a saint? I'll make it real simple. I'm not making it simple. This is what the word says. You just believe. Tell the person next to you, are you a saint today? Ask them, are you a saint? You just have to believe. Christ is now in the middle. And the final point before we get the testimonies up is I want you to understand, if we're going to keep our seats, that there is no more nails. There is no more nails holding us to the cross. I want you to understand one thing, and this is the difference between wounds and scars. You see, wounds are a place of hurt that are still healing, and they can cause pain. And we can sometimes go back to places of wounding in our lives. The nails can still be in there, and we can pick at it, and we can remember it. Oh, do you remember when so-and-so said that to me? How wrong was it? Oh, it hurt me so much, and we have wounds. But you see, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, he showed them his hands. He showed them his side. He let them put their fingers in it. They weren't wounds anymore. They were scars. And scars are the picture of your overcoming and a picture of your healing. Scars are your testimony. Scars are your victory. Scars are your overcoming places. And what the enemy wants to do, he wants to keep you with nails. He wants to keep you in places where you stay nailed to the cross. And if we're seated in heavenly places with Christ, we sometimes think, well, I'm up there, but because I'm holding on to something, I'm holding on to a nail in my life, it's like my little toe is still on the cross. It's like my thought life is still on the cross. And it's not a place of resurrection. It's still a place of death. And the enemy comes because you keep nails in your mind. You keep nails in your thoughts. Especially when that one person might want to walk in who you know that they offended you years ago. And you just love nothing more than to feel the nail in your pocket. And as they come and you begin to, in your thoughts, remind yourself of all the wrong that they did to you. But let me tell you, if we live in resurrection life, daily, the current unfolding story, we have to understand that there is no more nails. And I give up the right even to pick up the nails. I move in forgiveness. Forgiveness is the most powerful tool that you will, the truth that you will live in your life. Today is a day where you can fully forgive. It doesn't mean that the wounds disappear, but it means that the wounds turn into scars. And God is going to bring you into places of forgiveness. Let there be no more nails. Lord, I give up even the right to hold other people because you have done it all. I give up the right to be caught in hurt cycles, in pain patterns, and I move, Lord, from wounds into testimony.
Thanks for listening. Stay connected, be resourced and equipped by subscribing to our YouTube channel, our podcast channel, and following us on social media at Revival Fires on Instagram and Facebook. If you've been impacted by this ministry, why don't you consider investing and sowing a gift? Visit our website for details on how to give.